abuse. The company redeployed it to identify therapy overuse. Can you elaborate on this as we wrap up?
Yeah, so we spoke with hundreds of providers, as I mentioned, and many of them told us about this mystery. They were getting flagged by the insurance company for these aggressive reviews where they would be questioned about the medical necessity of their therapy for their patients, and potentially that therapy could be cut off. What we found out was actually the company had been investigated in three different states and by the Department of Labor for these practices, and they were told that it was illegal and they had to stop it in these jurisdictions. However, the way that our regulation of health insurance works in this country is that it really depends on the jurisdiction in which these actions take place. So even though UnitedHealthcare was told that it was doing something illegal in three different states, it could actually continue to operate with this strategy in other states unless those states took the enforcement. And so what we found is that the company, in effect, rebranded this system, and they're using similar practices around the country to essentially question and potentially cut off care.
Annie Waldman, there's so much to cover here. We're going to link to your reports. Annie's speaking to us from New Orleans in Louisiana. She's a reporter at ProPublica covering healthcare. We'll link to your articles. United Health is strategically limiting access to critical treatment for kids with autism, as well as how United Health's playbook for limiting mental health coverage puts countless Americans' treatment at risk. That does it for our show. Happy birthday, Renee Feltz. I'm Amy Goodman, sitting right next to Juan Gonzalez here in New York.
You are listening to Spill
on KBOO, Portland 90.7 FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 5:30 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found at our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Ready for another year of grassroots community radio? With your support, it's possible. Go to kboo.fm/give or mail a check to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214 to contribute to KBOO's $75,000 goal for our Catalog of Connections year-end campaign, going now until December 31st.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis. Via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. Today is the 16th of December. I'm Cecil Prescott. It is approximately 8:02 a.m. Pacific time, and I welcome you. Thank you so much for being a part of our programming, and thank you so much for being a part of KBOO community. And as you all are continuing with your busy lives, thank you for taking the time to support community radio station. And as you heard, we are in the midst of our year-end campaign. We're raising $75,000, and it depends upon you to do what you need to do. So go to our website, click on Donate Now, and be a member of this community radio station where we are making a difference, where you are making a difference. So thank you so much for being a part of this community experience and for making a change. Did I introduce myself? Well, let me introduce myself. I'm Cecil Prescott, and I will be your your host this morning. And there's so much that is going on in the world. And whenever I come in on Monday, I often have a plan. And then I start listening to the program that is before this program, and that's Democracy Now! And there's so much that was going on that segment this morning, and one cannot reflect on the last segment where they talked about healthcare, and you know, so much has been going on the last few weeks around the murder of a healthcare executive and how it has not resulted, but how conversation about the healthcare system and people frustration with the healthcare system continue to rise, and the fight to get good healthcare remains a problem in our nation. And one thing that struck me of that last segment was the observation that in the convention speeches of both former President Trump and Vice President Harris, the nominees of their respective party, healthcare was only mentioned twice. I suppose once by the Republican, maybe once by the Democrat, but we have so much to do in order to fix our broken healthcare system. And the murder of a healthcare executive is just a sign, I believe, of not only how our healthcare system is broken, but how we as a society beginning to question and perhaps tear down institutions which were supposed to be our safeguards, people's belief, trust in institutions, we see are no longer there. So institution where we formerly place our trust in, whether it's in the press or government, national, federal, or local government, institutions such as nonprofits or religious institution, all of those things, which have been things which have undergirded our society, people are questioning, and the recent elections in the United States is are one sign of that, but certainly this is happening in the United States and throughout the world. And again, I suppose dictators are quivering in their boots as they look at yet another dictator overthrown by people rising up. And who knows what will happen in Syria, but we do know that if you continue to tear down people, oppress people, that people will rise up. But we'll set that aside and reflect. And if you would like to share some of your thoughts about either the healthcare system, what's wrong with it, or institutions in general, I want to invite you to give us a call if you're able to at 503-231-8187. I also want to mention that last week, those of you who were heard the program, I quoted a line from a writing from the poet Nikki Giovanni. It was only after the program, I don't know whether that same day or the day after, that I found out that Nikki Giovanni had died. Nikki Giovanni, for me, was an influential artist for me growing up. For those, I was surrounded by the black cultural and political movements of the 1960s and 70s, and Nikki Giovanni was very much a part of that blossoming of activism, of concern, that expanded the voice of many oppressed people, and she was a part of that movement. And so, Nikki Giovanni, we thank you for who you were and what you did and the influence you had. And I'm going to quote another Nikki Giovanni poem right now, in honor of her. It's called Nikki Rosa. And she talks, well, let's hear what she writes about. Childhood remembrances are always a drag if you're black. You always remember things like living in Woodlawn with no inside toilet. And if you become famous or something, they never talk about how happy you were to have your mother all to yourself and how good the water felt when you got your bath from one of those big tubs that folks in Chicago barbecue in. And somehow, when you talk about home, it never gets across about how much you understood their feelings as the whole family attended meetings about Holiday. And even though you remember, your biographers never understand your father's pain as he sells his stock and another dream goes. And though you're poor, it isn't poverty that concerns you. And though they fought a lot, it isn't your father's drinking that makes any difference, but only that everybody is together and you and your sister have happy birthdays and very good Christmases. And I really hope no white person ever has cause to write about me, because they never understand black love is black wealth, and they'll probably talk about my hard childhood and never understand that all the while I was quite happy. Nikki Rosa by Nikki Giovanni, in honor of her, a poet who meant so much to so many, and her legacy continues, which caused me to wonder, you know, when I heard about Nikki Giovanni's death, I thought about, you know, there are many people in our lives, people we will never meet, who influence us, who are perhaps the writers and the artists, the poets, all the musicians who have served as the background music for your life. Who perhaps continue to influence you? Who are those sources of inspiration, sources of hope, maybe sources of despair, voices of despair, which motivate you? And how do you honor and how do we respond to them? Who are those people that continue to influence your life? Perhaps they are writers. Perhaps it's that teacher who made a difference in your life, who got you started to write, started to go to plays, or started to influence your ways of thinking. What are the ways in which we can process influences of things that people are doing and or saying? So if you have a person you want to just say, this person made a difference in my life, then and share why, perhaps it's an artist of some sort. I offered you Nikki Giovanni last week and remember her again today, but there are probably others, artists who influence you. And as is so much a part of who we are as a community. A caller called in a little bit earlier when I opened the program and was mentioning about our healthcare system and how broken it is. And the caller called in and reminded us that Oregon is the only state whose constitution guarantees right to health care. Now, that ballot measure 111 passed in on 2022. Now, while the voters passed that, that we have a right to health care, the problem comes in the details. We pass it, but we don't have adequate health care. There continues to be a drive for many years for public access to health care, and that continues to be a challenge for all of us. I just happened to listen again to that segment on Democracy Now! and they reference a ProPublica study review, and it is just heartbreaking when we realize how broken is our system and what we can do. In this article by Annie Waldman, she talks about how United Healthcare limited access, critical treatment to kids with autism. And that's just one, you know. Many, many families, we can talk about the challenges we face with healthcare, and it is in the moment when you are in crisis, when you are worried about your loved ones and whether or not they will make it, to be troubled and, quite frankly, abused by the healthcare system in moments of crisis is, in many ways, criminal. And so it means what can we do to challenge the healthcare system? Now, many have written, like in recent weeks since the murder of this healthcare executive, commenting from in my perspective, with chair privilege, saying, "Oh, look at all those people cheering the death of someone." And yes, that we should not cheer the death of anyone, but we also need to realize how desperate our system is in terms of create ways in which people respond in desperate ways. So we have the chance and opportunities, perhaps, to make things better. So what are those things that we can make better? So as the caller reminded us, one thing that we did here in Oregon was at least begin a conversation that said about healthcare, and we passed an amendment to the Constitution in Oregon guaranteeing the right to healthcare. And we have a right to healthcare. The challenge now is to make sure that people get the healthcare they need, that they are not ruined financially, and that they are able to get the treatment, that we are able to get the treatment that we need. Perhaps you have some thoughts about that. give us a call, 503-231-8187, about our health care and what we can do or not do for our system. And also, I mentioned earlier, people who influence you or influence us, who are the artists that continue to inspire you, that you go back to? I mentioned, I came into the studio this morning, and here at KBOO this past week, we had open house and everything's were out, and I was noticing in the archives, you know, pictures of influences, and there was this big book, I guess, of Jim Morrison, and I said, wow, but he was only 28 when he died, and that was like over 50 years ago. But in the meantime, let's hear what others have to say. Again, our lines are open. Let's go to our caller, and Janet has some thoughts to share. Good morning, Janet. How are you this morning?
Hey there. I'm a little jumbled up because you have such a mixed topic, and I've been thinking about the exciting thing is I'm getting my first visit up the mountain by my great grandson and my granddaughter. She had extraordinary care. I was thinking the baby was like upside down and some excruciating problems, which would not lead to you believe that you have this wonderful, big, huge, wonderfully growing kid, because she got such extraordinary care.
Okay.
And I've been thinking that their worst case scenario is that the value of human life is that indigenous babies are getting all chopped up and thrown under, and I don't really want to go there, but because I was thinking about the plus side is my great grandmother was a midwife.
Yes.
And I think and I live in a rural place, and the integrative group that's come up the mountain right now, that's in a few different places, it's almost a little bit like mutual aid. Let's do some rural. We really care for these people and what's
yes.
going on with them. Like if you studied Paulo Freire, you will see literacy
yes.
comes from what are people dealing with, what are peasants dealing with in society. And then I think, you know, I could go on and on with this and that, but I think your favorite topic is my influences back going to the Village and to the Metropolitan Museum of Art when I was 15, 16, to hear all the jazz greats at the Village Gate and to see all the fantastic artists, and taking my granddaughter and my niece to the Guggenheim.
Mm-hmm.
On Christmas time, we saw Van Gogh exhibit of the sunflowers going around and around up to the top.
So yes.
fabulous cultural background going with my mom. And I hear Olatunji and all these super jazz greats. So
yes.
I'm thinking it's almost like we're living in a world like Charles Dickens kind of thing.
Ah.
The worst of times, and thinking about how Orwellian it is with the fact that my older son, he really works on a lot of the high-end aircraft things, and I'm almost frightened to ask his what's his take on what's going on, because it just seems like we're really like headed towards spiraling towards way up to the top or way down to the bottom. We don't know which way we're going.
It does seem that way, and it reminds me of something you said at the beginning today. Is it seems as if we are spiraling down, it may be a solution, which is fundamental, which you mentioned earlier on, is mutual aid, because we have to be there for one another and support one another, because that's who all we have.
I don't know if you're familiar with this word. You know, I'm kind of in a little into semiotics, autochthonous, that we'd be thinking about a society like is getting so bad and so old that it needs to start over again.
Yes.
So the gods are going to be up in the sky and sprinkle down little seeds of a new civilization.
Right.
So I must be thinking that somebody was talking about this might really, really need to be a pivotal whatever he calls Malcolm Gladwell, a tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
And the important thing is about how do we join, how do we rise up, how do we believe in each other, how do we like give credit to young people who are keeping it lit, and not to just be thinking that we have a society that's built on greed and anger and destruction and colonialization. The idea, like Bob Marley was saying, not to let your mind get colonized, that we can still talk to each other and process all this stuff. And it turns out better than Velveeta cheese. That's my little joke.
Okay. Hey, thank you. Thank you so much, Janet. And thank you for allowing us to have this conversation. And I thank you that you were able to visit with your family. That's wonderful.
Well, listen, I just want to tell you, give yourself some credit, Cecil, because you are dealing with, like, how can you get anybody to even think of a way to open up the door to what's going on when it's just like they're just like out there, such crazy stuff that we should be all dumbed down. So that, good for you opening up the door to this dialogue. Appreciate it.
Okay, well, thank you so much and take care. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott. And give us a call, 503-231-8187. Janet shared some of their thoughts about the need for mutual aid, how we should support one another, and also mentioned her family and also influences, going to the Metropolitan Museum when she was younger and seeing the artists. Those were some of her thoughts. Give us a call. Let's go to our next caller. Mark has some thoughts to share with us. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Cecil. Good morning, Cecil. So, you know, I just read that progress requires more than technology. It requires values like empathy and cooperation. I think we're living in a time that is overrun by science and technology and other worldviews, other perspectives are just fall by the wayside. What gives me strength is that the UN High Commissioner for Refugees is helping 59 million refugees and returnees. Protecting them and assisting them, and you can make a donation on their website.
Wow.
So this is a way to counter the depression that comes when the elites just want more and more. We only have 3 days until the Portland Clinic closes. They're going to be closing on Thursday, December 19th. And the Portland Clinic is the largest medical facility in Portland. It employs 500 people, very gifted doctors and nurses, and helps an enormous number of people. It's a facility that that should remain open. It's closing apparently because a couple dozen homeless people gather there in the evening. Now what we need to do is help the homeless, and you create the transitional lockable shelters. For $1 million, you can create 200 of these shelters from palletshelter.com. They can build 60 in 10 days.
Hey, Mark, you have shared a lot of information with us right now. And just for a little bit clarification, so the Portland Clinic, their downtown location is closed.
Yamhill?
Right, let me finish. The clinical operation will be relocated to neighboring locations. But you are quite correct that the downtown location is closing, and about because of a lot of the reasons you mentioned, and part of the issue is we need to do something about our houseless population.
Absolutely. Patients are being referred mostly to the facility at 5005 Sandy. Maybe that's going to create a congested situation there, but to me this is a terrible top-down decision. Mm-hmm. And I emailed about 40 churches and synagogues and urged them to write or call the Portland Clinic and ask them to reconsider.
Okay. Well, those are great examples of noticing an issue and responding to it. So thank you for lifting up this issue, this problem,
yes.
and also taking action, because I think that's all what we should do.
And the facility is located at Yamhill and Southwest 13th in
right.
downtown.
Hey, so, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you for who you are and what you're doing. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO-FM. And let's go to our next caller, Santiago. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you today?
Doing all right. Busy, busy. You know, I just want to remind everyone that our healthcare system is not broken. It's working in exactly how it was designed to, you know?
Yes. I should rephrase that. You're correct.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then we're living in the most, the most toxic form of capitalism. All capitalism is toxic, but American capitalism is uniquely devious in that it undermines, has undermined public and social safety nets for as long as it's been around. And I'm not saying that other countries haven't done it, because obviously we're seeing in France and Germany how their social democracies are caving. But ultimately what it comes down to is having, because we talk about elections and having, elected people in positions of power, but the most powerful people in this country are just CEOs and leaders of corporations who ultimately have our government on the take. You know, it was Kamala Harris received the most donations from United Health during her campaign. Mm-hmm. You know, it's and recognizing that, the reason why we don't have, government health care is because we have politicians in place that keep that from happening. Now, it doesn't take away from what we have here in Oregon, but we cannot continue to live on the good, on what are perceived as good graces from the powerful.
Right.
You know, we need to organize as the working class and demand.
Yeah.
And demand and fight for not just for what we want here in Oregon, but for people all around the world.
Indeed.
To hear and around the world. It's a real working class movement.
Indeed. I think you're quite correct. And I think as you open up your statement that the health system is working like it's supposed to. I mean, and what we need, as you're suggesting, is to revolutionize our approach to health care so that public access is there.
I mean, we can't. There's a lot of liberals, especially who think that all we need to do is just tamp down these feelings that we have and how we're going to do stuff. But the fact of the matter is people need to be angry and continue to express their anger. On my way.
All right.
You know, so yeah. Anyway, just wanted to throw that out there. Great, great stuff. And my eighth grade music teacher is the one who kept me playing music.
Oh, okay. What's your eighth grade music teacher's name?
Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Wilson. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Hey, thank you so much, Santiago. Our last caller was sharing some of their thoughts about the healthcare system and made the observation, which I agree with. The healthcare system in the United States is working like it was set up to do, and to make sure that profit go to those on the top, and access to health care, maybe trickle down. And so what we need is a reformation, a revolution in terms of our health care system and how people may access it and how people may reform it. Those are things that we need to think about. So our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Appreciate the calls of the insights of those people who called for us. And Santiago not only talked about his analysis of the healthcare system, but reminded us that Mr. Wilson, his eighth grade music teacher, had played an influential role in his life. So for all the Mr. Wilsons out there, thank you for what you're doing. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. I offered a couple of questions earlier today, and one is some insights, and I appreciate that. One was, who have been the influential artists for you, and whether they might be poets or writers or musicians, and who have influenced you, continue to be the background music of your life. And we also talked a little bit about the healthcare system and what things we need to do to make it better. Callers came in with some specific advice. Janet reminded us of the need for mutual aid, that oftentimes that we need to support one another, and that was something that is helpful. Mark reminded us of the dire situation in many places in our society, and highlighted the closing of a medical clinic in downtown Portland, and how it impacts society, and it impacts those who most need the help. He recognized and addressed some of the issues surrounding the closing of that location by saying that there's many related problems, including poverty, including houselessness, that needs to be addressed. And Santiago reminded us that the healthcare system is working just fine because that's the way they set it up. And it wasn't set up to make sure that people have access to healthcare. It was set up because in our system, to make money, and to make money for those on top. And so these are things we need to do and need to change. So what are things we need to do and need to change? The last book that Dr. King wrote was in 1967, and it was more of a question, where are we going from here, he wrote, community or chaos? In it, he examined the situation that the United States was in the late 1960s, and he made some observations that continue to be relevant today, relevant in terms of his analysis of our society. And as we heard from some of the callers today, the remarks and reflections of Martin Luther King continue to be relevant. So in his last couple of years, as Martin Luther King began to examine our society even more deeply, he noticed and observed that our society is not only broken, but we need to do things to fix it. What can we do? What should we do? And perhaps next month will be a time to observe and reflect. What can we do and what should we do? Martin Luther King holiday will be celebrated this year on Monday, January 20th. On Monday, January 20th, not this year, next year, 2025, next year, okay. Have to get used to it. In next month, January 2025, Martin Luther King birthday celebrated on January 20th. Next month, on January 20th, will also be the inauguration of Donald Trump. How ironic, perhaps, that on the day we celebrate, honor Martin Luther King, Donald Trump will be inaugurated as president. But isn't that what America history is all about? American history is filled with irony. Reinhold Niebuhr wrote a book many, many decades ago called The Irony of American History. And isn't it ironic that on January 2025, when we honor Martin Luther King, and in which Donald Trump will once again take the oath of office as President of the United States. The irony of American history is not only that, but Martin Luther King became holiday happen under Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan, when he was the one who signed it into law, making Martin Luther King a federal holiday. And even as he was signing it, he offered some unkind words, because at that time there was still some conversation about whether or not Martin Luther King was a communist or was influenced by communists, and all this talked about Martin Luther King from the right. And as President Reagan signed it, he said, well, we don't know. We'll see in 50 years, or, you know, when all the documents are made public. Nevertheless, I think there's something even, I don't want to say revolutionary, but the fact that this right-wing president signed the legislation, and even as he was signing the legislation, was even saying terrible things about the legacy of Dr. King. That, in spite of that, it came through. And so I think next month, on January 20th, in spite of the fact that that will be the day in which Donald Trump is inaugurated as President of the United States, we're saying something in a very strange and very ironic way, that in spite of that, we will continue to honor the legacy of someone, or the movements of people who question the way our society exists. And that, my friends, I think are some of the issues we need to examine and not be afraid of asking. Where are we going, and what will we do? What are the things that we need to do to make progress? What are the things we need to do to continue on? What are ways in which we can transform our society? Who are those people who influence, who give you hope, who offer you ways in which you can do things better? As Santiago reminded us, it was our eighth grade music teacher. As Janet reminded us, not so much as she does whenever she calls, she talks about being influenced by leaders of movements in the 1960s and 70s. And of course, she mentioned, not this time, David Dellinger, some of the older folks can recognize those names, but also what are things we can do moving into the future? Where are things that give us hope? Give us a call. Your signs, 503-231-8187. Give us a call and share with us your perspective. I mentioned earlier the influence that Nikki Giovanni had on me as an early, when I was growing up, and the poetry that they wrote about, and the things that meant so much. And I, you know, with your indulgence, your generosity, I want to read some more from Nikki Giovanni to honor her that I had prepared to share this morning. And this one is called Mothers. The last time I was home to see my mother, we kissed, exchanged pleasantries and unpleasantries, pulled a warm, comforting silence around us, and read separate books. I remember the first time I consciously saw her. We were living in a three-room apartment on Burns Avenue. Mommy always sat in the dark. I don't know how I knew that, but she did. That night I stumbled into the kitchen, maybe because I've always been a night person, or perhaps because I had wet the bed. She was sitting on a chair. The room was bathed in the moonlight that feast through those thousands of paying landlords who rented to people with children were prone to put in windows. She may have been smoking, but maybe not. Her hair was three-quarters her height, which made me a strong believer in the Samson myth, and very black. I'm sure I just hung there by the door. I remember thinking, what a beautiful lady. She was very desperate, deliberately waiting, perhaps for my father to come home from his night job, or maybe for a dream that had promised to come by. Come here, she said, I'll teach you a poem. I see the moon. The moon sees me. God bless the moon, and God bless me. I taught it to my son, who recited it for her. Just to say, we must learn to bear the pleasures as we have borne the pains. It's Nikki Giovanni writing. And here, another from Nikki I'll let you hear it. It's called Ego Tripping. There may be a reason why. I was born in the Congo. I walk in the Fertile Crescent and built the Sphinx. I design a pyramid so tough that a star that only glows every 100 years fall into the center, giving divine perfect light. I am bad. I sat on the throne drinking nectars with Allah. I got hot and sent an ice age to Europe to cool my thirst. My oldest daughter is Nefertiti. The tears from my birth pains created the Nile. I am a beautiful woman. I gazed on the forest and burned out the Sahara Desert. With a packet of goat's meat and a change of clothes, I crossed it in 2 hours. I am a gazelle, so swift you can't catch me. For a birthday present when he was three, I gave my son Hannibal an elephant. He gave me Rome for Mother's Day. My strength flows ever on. My son Noah's built Newark, and I stood proudly at the helm as we sailed on a soft summer day. I turned myself into myself and was Jesus. Men and told my loving name, all praises, I am the one who would save. I sold diamond in my backyards. My bowels delivered uranium. The fillings from my fingernails are semi-precious jewels. on a trip north, I caught a cold and blew my nose, giving oil to the Arab world. I am so hip, even my errors are correct. I sailed west to reach east and had to round off the earth as I went. The hair from my head thin, and gold was laid across three continents. I am so perfect, so divine, so ethereal, so surreal. I cannot be comprehended except by permission. I mean, I can fly like a bird in the sky. That was Ego Tripping. There May Be a Reason Why by Nikki Giovanni. This is More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil. Let's go to our next caller. Tangent, good morning. What are your thoughts?
Oh, well, you know, wondering about when people have suggested that we need to rise up and change things. And the only thing I think that we have the power to do every day is change our words. So I was listening to Amy Goodman, and I heard a few phrases that are very, well, let's just get into them. One is they'll mention that people are denied the care they desperately need. I would rephrase that as that they already paid for. They've already paid for this care that they may or may not need. And everybody does, and not everybody needs it, so that when it happens, they're supposed to get it, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so it just lets the current phrases and words are letting them off. Okay, there's another one. They said they deny care in a cost saving, for cost saving, cost cutting. No, that's just theft. Cost cutting is when you're going to lie. You said, okay, they said, right? And everybody believes, here we get into this believing and knowing thing and not knowing,
yes,
that the thing is going to be there when you need it. And when it doesn't, you'll go, oh my goodness, poor me. Well, yes, it is. But the thing is, it's not simply poor you. It's lying, cheating them.
Sure. So how do you can change the language. Is that a way in which you make people either speak the truth or hear the truth in a way? Or because it seems as if I'm hearing from you that we often use language to cover up the facts, to deny the reality.
Yeah, they do.
They, right? And who is they?
Like, you have to make a distinction. We're not in the same boat. Now, they send us these phrases, and then we receive
who are they?
These big rich corporations, politicians.
Okay, I'm asking.
They treat us like babies. That's billion with a B. I didn't know how to spell. I didn't hear you. But here's one thing we can all do, okay? Mm-hmm. She Earth, not the Earth. She Mother is She Earth.
Okay.
That's a simple thing. Now we just changed it. And you don't have to say the world. We could say our world.
So
our world, if there's one boat we all are in, it would be planet Earth.
So what I'm hearing from you is that words help define who we are and how we describe the world. And so language is important. But thank you, Tangent. We have another caller behind you, but I appreciate you for reminding us of how words impact us. And we will go to our next caller. Our next caller is Tom. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, good morning, Cecil. Tom Sensick here with Healthcare for All Oregon.
Oh, a good person.
To the show. I called in to mention that we have a constitutional right to health care in this state. We're the only state in the union that has that. And I think this is a time, you know, for, again, speak truth to power. Let's activate together, encouraging people to go to HCAO.org, Healthcare for Oregon, because we are going to get a plan for universal health care right here in Oregon. And if we can get the people behind us, like Kay, who has been behind us all of these years to try to make this happen, but we are on a real path forward, and I would just encourage people to get involved.
Hey, thank you so much. And certainly Healthcare for Oregon has been doing this work for many, many years, leading the effort. And thank you for reminding us of the work. And there's a lot of work to be done, is it not?
Yeah, get in touch with your legislators.
Yes.
Now, that'd be very important. And get involved with the Universal Health Plan Governance Board, which you can find information on. There's people out ready to listen to what you have to say. It's built into the state right now.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for that. Reminding us, Healthcare for All Oregon, you can go to their website, hcao.org. Hey, thank you.
Thank you so much for your work.
Thank you for your work. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. That our last caller was Tom, who is with Healthcare for All Oregon. Earlier on in our program, we talked about healthcare in terms of how we need it. We mentioned that here in Oregon, we passed a constitution amendment stating the right to healthcare, and the work continues. Tom just called. He's with Healthcare for Oregon. They are been working for in their terms, a simplified, equitable, affordable healthcare system that works for every Oregonian in our future. And tangent before Tom reminded us, the language we use, how we speak, so important. So when we're talking about healthcare, it's not we deserve healthcare. We paid for healthcare. It's not something that is granted to us from on high. This is ought to be a part of being human. Right to shelter, right to food, right to safety, right to health care. Those should be universal and should things we should continue to work on. So as you continue on your day, remember how important it is to do the right thing and continue to transform our world. Let's see if we can get this last caller in. Let's hear from John. Good morning, John.
Oh, hi, Cecil. Just a reminder about how Ronald Reagan ties into this whole thing.
Oh, yes.
He dismantled the mental health system in the hospitals that were all over California when he was governor. He dismantled those, okay? So, you know, he's a big tie into this, and I just wanted everybody to know if they don't, and a lot of people don't know that that's what he did, you know, when he also dismantled the air traffic controllers union.
So the first part was when he was governor of California, dismantling the mental health and the air controllers when he was president.
Right, but the mental health part of it, that was a biggie because all the states looked at that and went,
California, right,
let's do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was a big, humongous system, and it worked really well.
Yes.
A friend of mine, you know, was in there, and it helped him out a lot.
I thank you so much for raising it, because I think last week or the week before, we talked about how there was this national consensus from the 30s up until the 80s, from Roosevelt up until Reagan, national consensus, Republicans and Democrats, in terms of how society should operate. But Reagan began this dismantling of this system, which continues to disintegrate to where we are today.
With United Healthcare, hey, how about that?
Yeah,
they just keeps right on going, and it needs to stop. That needs to stop.
Hey,
thank you, Cecil.
Hey, thank you so much, and thank you for calling this morning. And this is thank you so much. There's so much information and so much knowledge we all have, and what I'm gaining this morning is how we need to continue dialogue, how we need to continue to talk with one another. We all have something to learn from one another, whether it's from our eighth grade music teacher, Mr. Wilson, or whether it is from someone reminding us that healthcare for all Oregon is something that we need to do and that we need to work for. Hey, don't give up the struggle, because there is so much more we can do and so much more we can learn from one another. I'm Cecil Prescott, and I thank you all for being a part of this community radio station. I want to remind all of you that we are at our 2024 year-end campaign catalog of connection. Go to kboo.fm, connect with us, donate to our program, our radio station, and thank you so much. Thank you all. Stay tuned, stay connected.
Sequoia Ezekwe for Ear to the Streets of Portland on the best community radio station on the planet, KBU Community Radio, KBOO Portland.
KBU Community Radio holds open